Well, happy Thursday. Thank you so much for joining us here on WFSU Public Media's Perspectives, the program where you are always welcome to be part of the conversation at 850-414-1234, or you may email us perspectives@wfsu.org if you have a question, a comment, or a concern. I'm Tom Flanagan, and if I may wax personal for just a sec, my lovely adult daughter, Becca, is kind of a perfect stand-in for so many others when it comes to today's topic. Because when she hit college age years ago, she could not wait to put this community in her rearview mirror permanently. And with the exception of its proximity to the beach, she considered this area to be boring, provincial, and utterly lacking when it came to things like opportunity and culture and excitement and all of those sorts of things that you would find in a much larger metropolitan area. Fast forward a bit. On a recent visit, she was really taken aback to see the many changes that have occurred just within, the past 10 years or so. I took her down on Gaines Street, and she was looking for one of her former haunts, a place called the Late Night Library, which is long gone, and now you have that new grocery store that's down there, that Greenwise thing, and you've got all of the luxury student housing and the other things. She could not find her way home. I had to take over the wheel and get her back because she didn't recognize it. So she's almost to the point right now of admitting that there may be more to the old hometown than she had thought. But it's not just the younger folks who are discovering or rediscovering the attractions of Tallahassee. In fact, the initial outreach of the group we're chatting with today involved retirees from other parts of the country, and now has expanded that call to include essentially everybody. That group is called Choose Tallahassee. It's now working to welcome all comers to our neck of the woods, and we welcome them right now. Let's go around the table and meet him here. First, Executive Director of Choose Tallahassee, Greg Patterson, who helped put this panel together. Greg, good to see you, sir.
Good morning. Thank you for having us today.
Right next door, we got the new chair of Choose Tallahassee. Took over from Michelle Bono. You remember her when she worked for the city of Tallahassee in the manager's office for many, many years. But Michelle said bye-bye. Virginia Glass stepped in, and she's the new chair. Good to see you, Virginia.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here.
Right next door to you is Jimmy Cole with Florida State University's Office of University Relations. He sits on the Choose Tallahassee Board, an integral part of the whole thing. Hey, Jimmy.
Tom, thanks for having us.
And next door to you, Antonio Montoya. He's been in this room before. He is the executive director of Domi Station, besides being on the board. Hey, Antonio.
Glad to be here and that you brought me back.
Yes, sir. It's always a delight to see you, sir. And Lester Hutt, he is organizer of the last two welcome events for new FSU faculty, which was down at the historic old Florida Capitol. His day job, by the way, director of communications and outreach at Diverse Computing. Hey, Lester.
Hi. Thank you for having us.
Well, let's start with you since we're on your side of the table right now. Anyway, talk about that welcome event because I've never heard of a college town like ours saying, hey, new faculty, welcome. Let's show you all the amazing amenities and other cool things we have in your new hometown. How did that come about?
So it came about basically from the experience I had when my wife and I first moved to Tallahassee in 2003. And when we moved here, we knew her family. Her family is originally from here, but I knew nobody. And it wasn't until I had met some connectors, Jerry Osterjung and also Greg Patterson here, who really opened the doors to their connections here in Tallahassee. And that's how my wife and I started our network. And I just thought, you know, FSU, FAMU, TCC, they hire, I mean, dozens, if not hundreds of new faculty annually. And all these new faculty typically are not from Tallahassee. And so how can they get connected? And so I thought, well, why don't we have just a fun networking event where they get to meet, meaning the new faculty get to meet all the connectors in Tallahassee. So it's not just, say, government leadership, but members of, say, Leadership Tallahassee, the chamber, just general business leaders. and allow them to just mingle and connect. And you had mentioned you had never heard of anything like this, another college town. I don't think another one exists like this in Tallahassee. And it's just an idea that we just kind of spawned, and I just started chatting with the folks at FSU, and they said, yeah, let's do it.
It is a unique concept. We know a lot of welcome back student kinds of things that happen in various communities. But again, I had never heard of the faculty type of situation. Mm-hmm. Greg Patterson, I was talking last week to someone who said, oh, who's going to be on the program? And I talked about Choose Tallahassee and all that. And they said, well, why do we even have to do that? People will find us, or they'll get a job here and they'll wind up here anyway. Why promote more inward migration? What's the point?
I think what has happened with Choose Tallahassee, originally, Capital Health Plan was ranked as the number one Medicare HMO in the nation. So they promoted, you know, the seniors to move here. And Choose Tallahassee, now we've expanded, as you mentioned earlier, we're here to serve employers trying to recruit, businesses trying to recruit, is telling the story of Tallahassee, about our neighborhoods, about our health care, about our schools, that we're a small town atmosphere when we got big town amenities. And the response has just been tremendous.
Well, is that a scary thing, Virginia Glass, though, for some folks who say, well, it's the old, you know, I'm here, close the door, don't let anyone else in type of situation. But sometimes you will hear that pushback that we like it the way it is now. Let's not grow any more. You know, they're cutting the trees. They're doing this. They're doing that. Oh, my gosh, it's not the city we remember. And you get that kind of pushback. How do you deal with that?
Well, give me 10 minutes with them, and I'll convince them that they definitely want these people to come. One of the things I'm most passionate about in this effort is that by recruiting retirees, we find some of our best citizens. First of all, they have the means to do things that we need help with financially. They also serve as grandparents in our Title I schools where the kids need so much help. So I'm really passionate about the efforts we're making with our children in the public schools so that they can become participating adults and contributing to the community and the society. I've been selling Tallahassee since 1975 when I moved here, and it's so good to have an organized group helping me do it finally.
Well, that is true, because there are communities who have kind of taken a no-growth approach to everything. And I know we struggle with that here in this town, too. You just go to any city or county commission meeting, and you will have some people that will get up and say, no, we need to just slow things down and enjoy what we have. And I was talking to a group of folks just a couple days ago who they're holding a kind of celebrate historic Frenchtown event, and we'll be talking more about that later on, too. But one lady who was a longtime resident was decrying what has been lost. And so there's got to be a balance there somewhere. And how do we figure that out?
That's a very good question, and it's one we all struggle with. We certainly never want to minimize the history that makes Tallahassee what it is, but we also must be open to new opportunities that continue to change as we evolve.
One of those opportunities, Jimmy Cole, right up your alley here, is the fact that we have tens of thousands of college and university students who matriculate every year, and so many of them say, bye, y'all, boom, and they are gone. And the expertise and the intelligence that is lost when that migration happens is incredible. How do we entice more of them to kind of hang around after graduation?
Tom, those conversations are going on around the country in every university town out there, and it's community leaders like Virginia and Lester and Greg that help to bring them to ground through bringing on interns, showing that workforce, building a community ready to receive students and young professionals with a college degree, making sure that industry thrives here. Domi's a real leader in this sector, making sure that that entrepreneurial activity is fostered and successful here. Getting the students involved in the community while they're here, showing the assets of Tallahassee before that commencement weekend. Those are critical ingredients to that talent retention that you brought up.
And to you, Antonio Montoya, since Domi Station was mentioned here by Mr. Cole, I think the perception is that, okay, you guys are for the millennials, the young hotshot web developers and the creators of the next super app and all that hang out at Domi Station. But out in the lobby, you were saying, no, we're getting some entrepreneurial types who are maybe a little bit more seasoned in age, right?
Yeah, so our Domi community is very diverse. And we have over 140 people at Domi. Of those, 30 are students. And kind of like, you know, there will be, you know, a lot of young people there. But the people that you're starting to see at Domi, let's start with the remote workers, right? Those are people in their 30s. They have young families. They move to Tallahassee because they want a great place where they can basically raise their family, have a life, right, in good education for their kids. You will see them showing up in the morning because they leave their kids at school. They come to Domi to work, so because, you know, it's kind of hard to work remotely, you know, from home. And then they will leave in the evenings. And now we're also starting to see people that are starting companies in their 40s and 50s that look for people that are technology astute, so students as interns or as hires, and they are moving to Tallahassee because it's, they have a lot more runway here than, let's say, in Miami or L.A. or New York City, right? I mean, and they can have a life too, so...
You mentioned something, too, working remote. And for those folks who have been office-based in their careers for so many years that you get up in the morning, you get in the car, you go to the office, which may be in the Office of Business and Professional Regulation or Revenue, or because let's face it, a lot of state workers here, mm-hmm. you go to work. Now the work kind of comes to you, and you can be anywhere.
That's exactly right. And you will be surprised, but we have people that work for Microsoft, for Salesforce, for tech companies out in New York that live here.
In Tallahassee?
In Tallahassee. Mm-hmm.
Okay. We are talking about Choose Tallahassee. We have representatives of that group from the board and the organizational structure and why this is such a neat place to live and work and enjoy. You're listening to Perspectives on WFSU Public Media. You can give us a call at 850-414-1234 or send us an email, perspectives@wfsu.org. We are back on Perspectives talking about the selling of Tallahassee. It sounds like a novel full of all kinds of nefarious stuff, but it's really not. How do you promote the capital city and kind of take control or at least have more influence over its ultimate destiny? Maybe that's what we're talking about here with the Choose Tallahassee folks. Hey, a reminder, you can always find the program online at WFSU.org. Just go to our handy-dandy website, click on radio, pull down the local programs menu, and then Perspectives will be among that selection that you can choose. We archive past shows. We try to have the latest program up within 24 hours of when it actually airs. Talking again with Choose Tallahassee, its executive director being Greg Patterson. And you were talking, Greg, during the break about interns that you have in your other job and their relationship with this whole thing.
Interesting story. I had a young lady working for me when she first came on board. She was in the bubble at FSU where everything's available, you know, food, you know, Target, et cetera. And when she first came to work for me, she said, "I hate Tallahassee. Can't wait to leave. So in working with me and meeting the people, it's about the people and the relationships with Choose Tallahassee and going out in the community, she now works here. That just took 6 months.
You converted her.
We converted her. And I think that's what Lester's doing is he's having these job hops. And I think when we get the students out and they learn about all the tech companies that Lester is just sharing with us, I mean, there's a lot available for their future here in Tallahassee.
Well, and it's a whole host of different kinds of attractions and amenities, Lester, that we were mm-hmm. chatting about earlier, you know, whether it is career-oriented, but, you know, recreational, too. There's a lot of things that can be done in this area when it comes to that, no matter where your proclivities and your preferences may lie.
Absolutely. I think with the recent graduates that come out of the universities, the number one thing on their mind is getting a job. And one of the programs that the chamber runs is the Tally Job Hop, where we actually – or they rent vans and take students around Tallahassee outside of what we call the bubble, which is a one-mile radius around campus, which – again, everything is met. All their needs are met. All the students' needs are met within that one-mile radius. So they rarely venture beyond that. And so once you get them in vans and take them outside of that one-mile radius, their eyes open up and they think they're in a whole other city. You know, when you take them even just up Thomasville Road, they're like, are we in Georgia yet? And it's like, no, you're still in Tallahassee. I'm just saying. And what's fascinating is when you show them places where they can work but also where they can live, it's very mind-blowing to them. And just being a fly on the wall, hearing the conversations in the back of the van as you're driving around to each place is really fascinating. And then we often have networking events with these same students at the end of this tour. And we ask them, hey, what do you think? They're like, I had no idea I could start my career here. I don't have to move to Austin. I don't have to move to Silicon Valley to pursue a tech career. And a lot of it is just a lack of awareness on their part. So that's what we're trying to do is create almost like Tallahassee ambassadors of people who go on these tours, and then they tell their friends and classmates, hey, there's actually some opportunity here if you wanted to stay.
Surprising also that even some longtime residents of this area don't know what all is here. I was amazed to talk to some of the folks who were involved with Mission San Luis, mm-hmm. who are constantly running into folks who have lived in this town for 10 20, even 30 years, have never been there, mm-hmm. discover this recreated piece of history that they mm-hmm. find phenomenally fascinating, and that kind of motivates them to look for other things. And then mm-hmm. they find Goodwood and the Grove, mm-hmm. and their little circle gets bigger and bigger, and eventually you get them to Wakulla Springs, and then I guess it's all over. But, hey, we have some folks who are interfacing with us via the phone, and if you want to do that, that's easy, squeezy. 850-414-1234 is the number, and let's go to line one. That's where Pat is right now. Hey, Pat, thanks for calling. Welcome to Perspectives. Hello, Pat.
Hey, how you doing?
Real fine. Thank you. Appreciate that.
Thank you for having me. I've lived in Tallahassee my entire life, close to 6 years, born and raised here. Lived out of town down in South Florida for 2 years. That was a drastic culture shock, but it was okay. And the only question that I have and concern I have is, you know, I love Tallahassee. I wouldn't want to live anywhere else. But the crime rate, I think that needs to be addressed. Because I think, if I'm not wrong, Tallahassee, Leon County is like the highest crime rate in the state. I would think that'd be a detriment to recruiting people to come here. And that was my question.
And Pat, this is Greg. That's a very good question. It's something we are not sweeping under the rug. It's something we must deal with. I think the community is coming together to help address that. At the last leadership thing, Tom Barron of Capital City Bank was talking about how the community needs to come together to work with the crime rate. My Rotary, we've adopted Bond Elementary School and go in and mentor the children. And it's like Daryl Jones of the school board mentioned, if we can work with these kids, help get them out of school, and they go to college, go to trade school, and they have a way of making a living, it's a whole different story. And it's also, I'm not minimalizing this at all because it's a problem we've got to deal with, but it's in certain areas of town that we must address. I have to admit, when we all talked outside, I generally don't feel unsafe in Tallahassee. But yes, it's something the whole community, and I think the community is rising to address that. We're trying to attract business to help provide more jobs for the income disparity.
Pat, one other thing that we were about to talk about, and this will be coming up perhaps not in the context of this conversation, but a little bit later, is that at the Turnbull Center yesterday was a gathering of folks looking at some new economic development opportunities for not just the Tallahassee area, but the entire Northwest region of Florida in particular, that was so heavily damaged by Hurricane Michael, and that it is to replace some of the legacy agriculture in the area with, of all things, hemp. since the federal agriculture law now permits that to be grown here in Florida under the auspices of the Commissioner of Agriculture and Consumer Services. We now have a cannabis director, which just seems to me so 10 years ago, we'd be putting these people in jail. It's just so amazing. But the laws change, and they are looking at not only growing hemp, but also having manufacturing capability. So whether it's CBD oil or clothing made from hemp or any number of, I believe they said an estimated 25,000 products that can be made from hemp, and putting those kinds of things online to fill in some of the economic gaps in our community. That's something that I have a feeling, given the amount of money that is likely to be made off of those endeavors, that's something that we're going to see. That may help, Pat. I don't know, but we'll see.
And, Pat, if you've lived here all your life, Tallahassee is about the people. And the people are gathering up, the service organizations, the people. We're going out to try to address that problem because Choose Tallahassee is diverse. We're here to represent all of Tallahassee, and that's an issue. And whatever we can do to go out and minimize that, that's what I think everyone at this table is going to be part of.
Perspectives at WFSU.org is our email address. That is the address that Melinda used to say that we need better restaurants in town. What do you think, Virginia Glass, huh?
Well, I'm probably not the best one to ask that question to because I'm not one to eat out all the time like the younger folks do. But it seems to me every time I read an article, it's a new restaurant that's opening. Now, perhaps this person is interested in more unique restaurants, but it seems to me we have plenty of restaurants in Tallahassee.
Is it okay if I step in on this one?
Sure, go ahead, Lester.
Yeah, so when my wife and I first moved here in 2003, we moved from the San Francisco Bay Area, one of the food meccas of the United States. And so, yeah, it was a big challenge for us initially. But I'd say since 2003, when we moved here to now, it has changed dramatically. And a funny story I have with one of the new faculty that I had met last year. He and his wife said the same exact thing. They came from Southern California, went to graduate school in New York. They said, there's a dearth of restaurants. And so I said, all right, I'm going to give you our top 12, the favorite places where my wife and I like to go eat. And you get to go on 12 dates with your wife, and you get back to us after that. After that, they're like, you're absolutely right. There's really good restaurants here. And what was funny was just this past time when we introduced the brand new cohort of faculty, that same couple was using that same list of 12 restaurants for the new faculty and saying, try these out first before you make that statement.
Very good.
Ah, okay. A little educational opportunity.
Absolutely.
Hey, speaking of education, though, Jimmy, if we could talk about, you have the Jim Moran Center. You have all of these entrepreneurial training grounds. I'm thinking Mark Bond and the School of Hospitality, all that kind of thing. It would seem that FSU, FAMU, even TCC, they have some programs too, could help to spark maybe some of that entrepreneurial spirit when it comes to culinary excellence in town too.
Absolutely. So many of the top chefs in Tallahassee, restaurant management, had their education at one of the many educational institutions here in Tallahassee. They're showcasing that talent right now. Just opened up a Tally Mac Shack outlet, a local startup, in 1851 food hall at Florida State. Great stories on that. We need to tell them more. And folks like Lester with that Tallahassee Welcomes You, that included Tallahassee Community College, Florida A&M, and Florida State. And the brilliance in it was the genuine nature. It was the community saying, let's welcome you. It's the stories of saying, where do we go out to eat? That is why these partnerships with the community are so critical in welcoming the hundreds of families that are moving to Tallahassee to teach at our colleges and universities every year.
And that was one of the motivators, I think, for students in some areas was if your primary faculty members in your area of expertise urged you to go elsewhere after graduation to seek your fortune, that's probably what you're going to do. But if they know what the opportunities are locally, maybe they will urge you to stick around and pursue your dreams here.
Absolutely. When we interviewed the students during the first Tally Job Hop that we did, we asked the students, who's telling you that you have to leave? And they're like, it's our professors. And I was like, ooh. And they've been here and they've been living here for a while. And it turns out that many professors didn't know of the job opportunities that existed here in Tallahassee. So the following year, we did something very similar, except we took professors around Tallahassee and showed them where their students could live. And so the Tallahassee Welcomes You event that we did is like the next iteration of that, where you show a very positive experience about the city and get them connected to the connectors within the town. And they have a positive experience, and then they have the ability to touch and influence hundreds, if not thousands, of students.
Antonio Montoya, you guys at Domi Station just did something interesting. You came up with an awards program for local entrepreneurs to celebrate some of the success that we're seeing locally on the parts of folks who say, hey, here's something that we need or hasn't been done before. And how much do you think that contributes to, again, promoting this area as a seething hotbed of entrepreneurial spirit and, hey, we need more people to come here and get involved with that too?
So that's a very good segue. So we decided to start the Domi Awards as a way to celebrate our anniversary at Domi. It was our fifth anniversary. That's an important thing because, you know, most companies don't go past the fifth anniversary, right? They fail. So that's an important date for Domi itself. And we wanted to celebrate the people that inspired our work, which are the entrepreneurs. So as we opened this up to the community, it was great to see all these people that were basically proposed by others in the community, right? As, hey, you should celebrate, you know, this person or that person. The fact that these people were recognized by their peers made it for a very interesting experience. And what it allowed us to show is that there's really a community here, but it's not given enough visibility. So there is already, every small town in America has a thriving entrepreneurial community, right? It's all about small businesses. That's what makes communities. And Tallahassee is no exception. So I think that making sure that it's a place where people know each other and they can refer you. And this is kind of like what Greg was saying, right? You come in and then people introduce you to each other and you get connected very quickly. If you go to New York City, try to get connected, right? It's really hard. Here, you can become part of the community very quickly and you can make a difference if that is what you want.
Is that what it is, Greg Patterson? Big fish, small pond kind of thing? You can make a difference in this community, whereas in an Atlanta, a Charlotte, a Chicago, a New York City, an L.A., that is far less likely?
Absolutely. I was talking to someone the other day who's talking about they moved here, and then within a couple of years, because of our size, you can know the people on the school board, you know the people that run Domi, you'll know the elected officials, you'll know the leaders in the community. And I think we're a very welcoming community. Like with Choose Tallahassee, we welcome anybody to get involved and give their input. And I think the whole community is like that. I think FSU is like that. The senior community is like that. So, yes, you know, we're a welcoming community. That's what I love about Tallahassee. It's about the people. We recently did a session where what do you like about Tallahassee? And it was, oh, some people let me in traffic. Someone gave me an extra quarter when I was trying to pay my bill and I was a little bit short at the convenience store. But it's the people, and it's the quality of life.
It's sometimes a little bit harder, though, to reach out to some of the more isolated and marginalized communities. And I think anyone who's been involved with local policymaking or government recognizes that, too. We have these little enclaves. Well, like was brought up about the crime rate, there are certain little places where, let's face it, these folks don't get out much. They really don't, and maybe part of the dysfunction is because of that isolation. How do we get folks in there and say, hey, y'all are part of this too, and we invite you to be part of this larger community?
I think we try to connect with Talitha, who is a big community leader in the bond community. Yeah, we work with her. I mean, she is a great asset, and we are trying to be inclusive and not exclusive. So, but it takes everyone at the table. It takes everyone in the community.
You got any ideas there on that, Jimmy? Or?
You know, one of the great things about Choose Tallahassee is the those biweekly meetings that Virginia leads so well and makes sure everybody's contributing and thinking outside their box, which is Florida State does have a role, FAMU and TCC as well, and in our own talent development and talent recruitment. But we're also a partner with healthcare, with the financial sector, with real estate. Florida State's a great arts and culture, athletics. We got museums, green spaces. There are a number of ways that some of Lester's new employees are going to interact with the university beyond just how our new faculty and staff and our students will. Choose Tallahassee by bringing everybody together and forcing us to really collaborate and answer these questions might uncover new opportunities in the community.
We are talking about Choose Tallahassee. What's your favorite thing about Florida's capital city? Or it does not have to be the favorite. It could be your least favorite thing because you have to know what the problems are before you can address them and get them fixed. And we also talk about that here on Perspectives from WFSU Public Media. We have a comment from Bob that we're going to address here very shortly on the other side of this break, rapidly bearing down on us. In the meantime, 850-414-1234 is our number. Or if you would prefer sending an email, we can handle that too. Perspectives@WFSU.org. We shall return. Back on Perspectives on WFSU Public Media, Choose Tallahassee folks here with us. And a comment here from Bob who says, it seems you are tiptoeing around the obvious main cause of ignorance among many about the reality of living in Tallahassee, that being the near demise of our local daily newspaper. We used to rely on a vibrant printed press to daily remind us of life going on in our city, not just the bleeding headline crime news. When an organization like DOMI had an awards event, the local paper would publish the award winners with photos the next day. When new cultural opportunities would open up, the local newspaper would tell us about it and show it to us with photos. Sadly, no longer can we rely on this organ to keep us informed. This has cost our community dearly, and we are struggling to recover if the individual organizations don't fill in the gaps by developing their own means of public outreach, which includes pre-publicity and post-publicity. Things will be slow to change indeed. Reaction, guys?
Technology, things have shifted, and don't get me wrong, I think the Democrat plays an important role. In fact, I write for the paper, but a lot of people are going to many sources to find out about what's going on, what's new, where to go, where are the news. There's so many news sources, and you're right, it's tough finding the local quality of that, and that's one thing with Choose Tallahassee and everybody in this room is working on is let everybody know what's going on.
Yeah, Scott Horsley, the chief economic correspondent for NPR, was visiting us yesterday, as we mentioned a little earlier. And someone at the luncheon that we had here at the station brought up that question. What do you do with the change in environment for the printed media, the legacy press? And Scott's prediction was it's not going to get better. The economic model is in deep trouble. And the reason why you don't have a full newsroom over there on Magnolia as we used to have in what could be called the golden age of newspapers back in the 60s, 70s, and 80s is just that there's not the revenue stream coming into these papers that you used to have. And as much as we love folks like, you know, Carl Edders and all those guys down there, Bill Berlow and crew, they don't work for nothing. You got to pay them. And it cost money to do that. So I don't know. A real good question on that. Let's see if we can get Mary Ann in here. She's calling in on line one here. Hi, Mary Ann. Thanks for calling Perspectives. Hey, Mary Ann.
Hi.
Yes, go right ahead, ma'am.
I'm a member of the community that is interested in progress and also preservation of what we have. I live in the Myers Park neighborhood, and we have been under assault for years. The latest two things that have happened, and has been continuing, is the destruction of ancient, old growth trees everywhere here. And to put things in, you know, a high-rise building that's going to go in Cascades Park, that project destroyed hundreds of more trees. So it's heated up the area. The latest thing is there's an historic house. It's the Hartsfield House that's at 343 Oakland Avenue East. And there's a developer that's bought that property and promised to maintain that house, and we're fighting for him to do that. So that is two of my concerns, are what we have in terms of buildings and also our old growth trees that we're so proud of, but they're being mowed down.
Mary Ann, thanks so much for that input here. Let's go around the table and get some feedback from the folks that are here. Lester, any thoughts on Mary Ann's comment there?
I mean, when people think of Tallahassee, they do think of the trees. And I personally feel that there's a way to have a blend of, you know, new construction / finding ways of accommodating some of the growth that we're going through at Tallahassee, while at the same time maintaining some of the history and also the old growth trees that have been here. You just walk around or drive around Tallahassee and people comment like, wow, it's so green here. And it's such a nice comparison when you look at places. I grew up in Albuquerque where there's no trees. It's all dirt and rocks. And, you know, it's pleasant to have those trees here. But, you know, at the same time, you have to kind of consider how do we grow with that?
Mm-hmm. What do you think, Greg?
And part of our story is about our trees and our history. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's part of the story of Tallahassee. So it's a fine line to walk down in between having growth and retaining the trees. What I love about Tallahassee is still the size that you have a say-so. You can go say something at the city and county commission. You can mm-hmm. call them. Is it always working? No. Are there sometimes things cut down that I don't want cut down? Yes. But it's a fine line, you know. We have a lot of people want to have a place for their children to be able to work and places to live. So where do you find the fine line? I mean, I've also been president of Kona at one point in time, and I've seen both sides of the coin, and it's tough. I think we need to try to grow smart, mm-hmm. and there's not an easy answer for that. But in Cascades Park, I mean, look what it's going to do for our community. Mm-hmm.
So if I may, so I just relocated to Tallahassee a year and a half ago. One of the reasons why I relocated is because I love the vibe of the trees and all that. It reminds me of the city where I grew up, which is Medellin, right? We didn't have oaks. We had robles, right? So different kind of tree. But what's interesting about it is that as we were looking for a house, and we the hurricane mm-hmm. came over, and we saw, you know, it was beautiful to have a 200-year-old tree on top of your house, mm-hmm. you know, but it's kind of dangerous.
Until the storm came.
When the storm comes, right?
Right.
So we ended up buying in Southwood, where we can look at the trees. It's beautiful, right? But it's a community that was designed so that you can coexist, you know, and have beautiful houses and then beautiful trees, right? So I think that there is something for everybody here. And I have to say, it's an attraction to the city, but you know, it was a consideration mm-hmm. For us. Same with the old houses. Love old houses. I'm a mid-modern geek, but I prefer to buy a newer house because of the maintenance costs and things like that. Mm-hmm. So there's a practical considerations that also have to be, you know, played out if you want to have a city where you can live and enjoy those beautiful things, right?
Okay. Jimmy, any thoughts there? Since, again, the university is constricted, that's one of the issues that we have had not only at Florida State but also at Florida A&M University. You got no place to grow. And so here back behind us, there was something called Alumni Village at one time. That is now going to be the new Southwest campus at some point.
Oh, we're sitting in Innovation Park right now at your studio, and lots of growth in this area. And the universities are all committed to historic preservation and natural preservation, devote a lot of resources to that very, very topic. I want to pivot just a little because I want to make sure we get this in. But Choose Tallahassee is so much more than the universities. Choose Tallahassee has representatives from healthcare, from financial sector, from real estate, from nonprofits, right, from the state. Yes. And we would be remiss if we did not talk about the incredible importance of bringing together that diverse community to talk about not how do we just change Tallahassee. That's actually not the point of this organization. The point is to say, how do we tell the genuine story of Tallahassee? How do we connect people coming into Tallahassee, retirees, mid-career, keeping the students here? Lester's really led a great effort in the spouses. What if your family's moving here? He's got a great program to help find jobs for spouses and immediately engage in the community. That's what Choose Tallahassee is focused on. Not fundamental change in the community, but telling that genuine story and engagement.
That's absolutely right.
And one point I'd like to make real quick is no one is more passionate about trees than I am. I bought a house one time because it had the second oldest tree in Leon County. Having said that, as a citizen trying to be objective about the overall needs and assets of the community, when we have 1,000 people a day coming into Florida, we have to find housing. And that's going to require that we make some tough decisions. I have great empathy for our local planners and the job they do. And as Greg said, if you are passionate about something, show up at these city commission meetings, because you, John Q. Public, can do a lot more than one small group of people.
And it seemed, I don't want to identify a specific area or project, but time after time, there have been angry groups that have descended on local government meetings when final decisions are about to be made. But these folks were not there during the planning process. And I know we're in the media. We get noticed on this stuff all the time. But it's also available to the people in the neighborhoods who receive written notices that very often wind up being just tossed aside because I don't know what this is. And we have had some pretty contentious meetings because people weren't involved from the get-go. So if something is going to happen in your neighborhood, it may behoove you to try to find out what that is before the final decisions are coming down. And then there's this a huge hue and cry at City Hall or the County Commission chambers where people are going, I didn't know about this. How did this happen? Well, they were telling you about it a year and a half ago when it was in the planning process. So we maybe all need to get a little bit more involved with what's going on in the community.
Absolutely. And for people listening, what's in it for you if you live here in Tallahassee? The people we are trying to target, and they are the people, are people that are come here, they're going to shop in our stores, they're going to buy cars, they're going to buy homes, they're going to start businesses. And I think if we all, as citizens of Tallahassee, work like with Lester's Connect, and we connect with people, and we help create that culture of letting people in traffic, let them go ahead of us in the grocery store, that's what Tallahassee's all about. And I think it takes a whole community to bring that about. And are we going to have some change? Yes. Do we always like change? Not everyone. But I think it's going to be great for the community.
We only have a few minutes left to go. Let's do a quick roundtable here. And we will start with you, Lester Hutt. What is your favorite thing about Tallahassee?
My favorite thing, we touched on this earlier, was how an individual can get connected very easily and make a difference. Without needing to run for office or being, chairman of the board of something. A lot of the projects I've worked on locally have just been ideas I came up with, and I found a couple other people who are just as passionate, and we put together a little team and get something to happen. I mean, when you think of both the Tally Job Hop as well as like the Tallahassee Welcomes You event, that was just a small team of people coming together that wasn't an organization or some nonprofit. It was just a team of concerned citizens. So
over to the other side of the table, besides the fact we have trees like Medellin, what else do you like about Tallahassee, Antonio?
Well, I think it's the people, definitely. I think that there's so many people in Tallahassee that are truly looking forward to make it better, right? I mean, there's I've lived everywhere, and I lived in very large cities. And you find yourself like, you know, you're a drop in the sea. Mm-hmm. Here, people recognize you. And there's, again, a lot of people that are trying to make, to leave Tallahassee better than they found it. And I think that that is kind of like the gist of it. I mean, I love the passion of everybody, mm-hmm. you know, because they all want to make it better, right? Mm-hmm. And that, I think, is the common denominator. That attracted us.
Thank you. Jimmy Cole.
Game days. How do I not say game days? And you know, the greatest thing, the next one is homecoming for us. On October 26th, Syracuse coming down. Great two games, our last two in Doak Campbell Stadium. And a neat thing, our Museum of Fine Arts has actually started opening up right before games. So do your tailgate in the art museum. What a great way to showcase the university. And there's just not a better time than homecoming to show off on a game day.
Yeah. Virginia Glass.
Well, I came to Tallahassee in 1958 when we had 45,000 population, and now we've grown up into almost 300. And I can't imagine living anywhere else, but one of the best ways to sum it all up, in my opinion, is a quote from Mark O'Brien, the CEO at TMH, who says, "Tallahassee is a metropolitan Mayberry. Large enough to meet your needs, yet the small town feel of concern and friendliness." So I'm just happy that I'm a part of it.
I got to put that down. Let's see, Metropolitan Mayberry. Yeah, I got.
Isn't that perfect?
Yeah, I got to get up with Mark. Let's see if he's got, you know, like a reserve copyright or something on that. I want to use that for some. Greg Patterson, you get the last word on this one here.
I have a whole long list, but I'm not going to go through all of them. I love our outdoors and our greenways. Yeah, we have Move Tallahassee, the walking group, and we meet and we walk in different parts all over town. But if you go out into our parks, I think our Parks and Recs is one of the top in the nation. You know, the soccer fields, the parks and the greenways and the outside, and it's not that far to the coast. So I'd say our outdoor quality life, I love our culture. We've got it. I think we've at times have had an inferiority complex, but if you look at it, we've got it. We've got the sauce. We've just got to do a better job of communicating that sauce.
You're talking about our outdoor amenities. One of the neatest little things that, and we discovered this, we were talking to someone with the city here a couple years ago. Everyone loves Cascades Park, of course, but right up the street from there, on Call Street, where it nearly dead ends, coming off of the railroad tracks, there is this little pocket park that sits between Call Street and the railroad tracks that is just this little piece of unspoiled wilderness right smack dab in the middle of Tallahassee, which I think is one of the coolest things. And it's like you're transported to a wilderness area far, far away, but you're less than 50 yards from houses and everything else, but it's just gorgeous. So, folks, thank you so much for everything you're doing to promote our community across the country and literally around the world. Mm-hmm. To folks from all over who may discover that their little bit of heaven is right here in the metropolitan Mayberry that is Tallahassee, Florida. So to Greg Patterson, Executive Director of Choose Tallahassee, Virginia Glass, new chair of Choose Tallahassee. Big job ahead of you here, lady.
Absolutely.
Jimmy Cole with Florida State University's Office of University Relations on the board of Choose Tallahassee, along with Antonio Montoya from Domey Station and Lester Hutt, who is also a director of communications and outreach at Diverse Computing. We'll see you during the next Welcome Faculty event. Is that going to be Absolutely. At the old Capitol too, Lester?
We'll have to see if it's at the 22nd floor or the old Capitol. It was under renovation, the 22nd floor this year, so that's why we couldn't have it on the top floor. But a lot of people liked it up there. So
Yeah. It just has that certain vibe to it that captures our community so beautifully. So thank you, guys. Yeah, thank you. And we'll get together with you on subsequent Choose Tallahassee meetings and see where this goes and who comes as a consequence for it. Perspectives produced by WFSU Public Media in Tallahassee. Technical assistance by Taylor Cox today. Lydell Rawls working the interconnects. And I'm Tom Flanagan. Next week, We have a landmark broadcast event. Perspectives takes to the road for the first time. We are off to Bay County. We are going to be live from where Hurricane Michael made landfall 1 year ago. We'll talk to the folks out there, find out what they have been doing in the intervening 12 months and where we go from here. All coming up next week on a very special edition of Perspectives.
Perspectives are available by calling 1-800-829-8809. Log on to WFSU.org for online archives and podcasts. Perspectives is a production of 88.9 WFSU-FM, Tallahassee.